I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 513. Dishonored 2. It's two games in one. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I've been better.
Yeah, you got a little bit of the plaguey plague,
some,
it sounds like.
I got some congestion in the chestal area.
You got the creepy crip.
But
I mean, it's going around, so there could be worse things going on.
But, like, I'll put some Vicks on it and, like, just clear the channels and I'll be good. Just feeling kind of crummy today.
Vicks. It fix you up real good.
But that's not the topic of today's show because that's only, like, 4 minutes long.
Yeah, no, that's not even, like, 4 minutes long. So, this week, we're going to be talking about a bunch of different things. Things that we think, you know, now that the holiday season is upon us, that might be helpful for some people out there to know, like things that wouldn't suck to get as a gift. Some of the things are mostly things that we would like to get as gifts. Hint, hint, people in our lives who are listening for the holiday season, because who doesn't like presents? There's no one on the planet that doesn't like presents.
I bet there's one person who's like, you know what? I don't need gifts. They're nice, but like, I don't want any, but I'll take them if you're going to give me some.
Yeah, the passive aggressive gift receiver.
No. Oh. Eshmore's not about presents. Like, he's not like, oh man, I totally can't wait for Christmas so I can get presents. Like, some people want to attribute something deeper than, oh, a holiday told me I have to buy you shit here. Like, gifts mean more to certain people than just a routine that we do because there's snow on the ground. You feel me?
I feel you.
Like, sometimes I just like to buy people certain presents just because. King Baby Duck, I bought him his first PS3. Because he was one, just kicking butt and taking names. And I wanted him to see how much I appreciated all the work that he did. Ash mom thought I was fucking nuts.
Yeah, KBD goes in though. And I remember when he did that. And that was awesome. You know, because that's what we do here. Like, we hook each other up.
So yeah.
We can all, like
sometimes gifts can mean a lot more than just a, oh, by the way, it happens to be really cold outside. So I bought you this sweater that you could wear on Christmas, even though for most of December, you could have used the sweater then.
Right.
But I had to wait till now.
Right. Just depends on where you live. I mean, because some places, they don't get cold in the winter for Christmas. But, hey, you know what? I feel what you're saying. I feel what you're saying, sis. And that's the thing. Like, a gift should be given because it strikes you at the moment that this is something that you think that person would really enjoy or maybe not do for themselves otherwise. And
right.
So you give them the gift, whether, you know, it's a special time of year or not. Like, I like to give people things when I come across them and I think that they'll like them, and not because the calendar tells me that, like, today is a good day for gift giving because...
Or when you want to upgrade and you know your sister is two generations behind on phones, so you hook her up because you're cool.
Right. Like that, you know.
Sometimes being nice and helpful to you, like, to another person, helps you. So, you
sometimes.
Know.
I mean, look, here's the thing. Don't be a shitty person. And,
right.
Like,
don't be a dick. And
that's it. Like, that's the life lesson. The more you know. All right. So, moving on. I'm going to talk first, I think, about a game that I've been playing. I talked a little bit last week about jumping into one of the most recently released sequels, and I hadn't made my mind up which one it was going to be, but I said that it was probably going to be Dishonored 2, and guess what? It was Dishonored 2, because I have not yet gotten my hands on Watch Dogs 2. Maybe the payroll gods will allow next week when I get paid.
Well, I mean, Broke Bitch November is almost over.
Right. Still, but I'm still
broke. So now we're going to be moving into the, oh my God, I have no money December.
We're going to be we're moving into eating nothing but ramen December.
And at least you get in ramen. Like,
yeah, dude. I bought a 24-pack of chicken ramen. At the BJ's. Like,
I like to get me some chicken ramen, and then I like to get me some beef ramen, and then I like to get the blue ramen because I don't like that it says Oriental on it because I think it's racist. They need to change what the name of it is. Like, 4 years ago. That'd be nice. Put some scallions in it. Maybe put an egg in it.
What?
Yeah. Jazz your fucking ramen up. Put some class in it.
I, as promised, have been playing Dishonored 2. And I gotta say that really two big things kind of stand out for me. If you're not familiar with the Dishonored franchise, Dishonored is a game from Bethesda. And as you guys know, if you are even remotely longtime listeners of our podcast, you know that we are absolutely bananas bonkers fans of Bethesda.
We go bananas for Bethesda.
We do. We hark those guys. They have made many, many, many of the games that we enjoy playing. I have stayed out of Elder Scrolls just because I need to have some semblance of a life, but I appreciate Elder Scrolls so much. Like, every time I've watched Panda play or talk about the game.
Oh, man. I still haven't gotten all the dragon words from Skyrim. I'm only one short, though. But I have too many houses. This is my sick obsession about Skyrim, particularly. And I know that these are all facets that we've seen in the other games, but I didn't jump into Elder Scrolls until Skyrim. And I like to collect things.
No.
Can you give me a world that lets me pick up just about anything? Like, at all times? Like, that's a problem for me, who has, like, a serious... Like, I feel like I must have been a klepto in a past life, because I always want to snatch things, but then I don't know where I want to put them when I take them, and that's my problem. But in Skyrim, like, the more honored you are, you will be awarded houses. I mean, you could also steal the houses, like, break into them, too, but... I like to play Paragon, my first run through of most games. So I just kept getting more honored and getting more houses. And then I have a house that has nothing but chairs in it. I've got one that's got nothing but, like, tables in it. And I have house squires who have to stay and watch my property. And, like, I feel bad for them because in the one that has no chairs, like, she just has to, like, sit on a table. And she's just like, you know, maybe we should reorganize your house a little bit. Don't tell me what to do. So I'm so
honored. You're not gonna blast me.
This is my table house. This is where all my tables go. I was like, I have a chair house. I have a saddle house.
You have a chair house. Are you serious?
Yeah, got nothing but chairs in it. If I like a chair, I take it. Or steal it. And then I put it in my chair house. And I feel bad for that house squire, because I just took her out for an adventure to go get another table and she died. So that house does not have a house steward in it. Rest in peace, Sylvia. But,
R.I.P.
like, I'm on the grind. Like, my houses are so chock full of swag for my adventures. One's got poisons in it. I'm careful when I walk through there because most of them, like, as soon as you touch them, you get hurt. So, like, I don't go to the poison house very often, but, like, I have a house with poisons in it. It's so weird. I have the weirdest tendencies in these type of games. But thanks, Bethesda.
This my poison house. This my chair house. This my bed house.
Yep. I have a house that has nothing but beds in it. Like, oh, you want to go to the bathroom? There's no toilet, but there's a bed. That's the shit bed. You can shit in that bed. That's the shit bed.
You kill me. So anyway, we're fans of Bethesda's games, okay? I know that you played Doom and enjoyed it.
Oh, me and the fiance played. He played more Doom than I did because he's so much better at it. Like, I'm so used to wanting to reload, and you don't have to reload in that game. Like, literally just picking up stuff reloads your shit. So I'm just like, I want to reload. I want to cock my gun. He's like, stop cocking it. I just want to cock it. And then go bang, bang, bang. But you could just go bang, bang, bang.
I just want you to realize the soundbite that you've just blessed us all with.
The, oh, I just want to cock it.
And then I want to go bang, bang, bang.
And then I want to go bang, bang, bang.
But, just remember, you said that.
He played far more of that than,
right.
than I did.
But at the end of the day, we hearts the Bethesda. So
we do.
It was a given that I was going to try Dishonored when it came out, which was the first of its kind. So it was an original IP when it was released. And not everyone was sure that it was going to create a franchise. But I knew within playing probably the first 15 minutes of the game that it should definitely be the start of a franchise, but I too wasn't sure that it was, because Dishonored is a game that focuses really on stealth, but giving the player the ability really to choose their path of stealth. So very much like in the Batman games, where people heralded the ability to like choose which way you were going to infiltrate a place. And you had more than one way to take down enemies, with the exception of, you know, obviously your scripted boss fights. People really responded positively to that mechanic of gameplay. That's a mechanic that is in Dishonored. And so in the first game, basically you played a character named Corvo. And Corvo and the Empress were chatting it up, you know, in front of their daughter Emily one day.
Because they got down.
And the Empress was assassinated, and Emily was taken as hostage.
Oh boy.
And Corvo, who was the Knight Protector, I forget. I think that was his title. I can't remember what his actual title. Protector of the Realm, something like that. But basically, the Hand of the Queen, we'll go with that, was framed for it. And so in order to try and figure out who was behind the Empress's death and who had his daughter, and trying to get her back, donned a mask and proceeded to run through the city of Dunwall to get his revenge and get his kid back. And it was really interesting because he...
Oh, he's like the Liam Neeson.
Yeah, basically his daughter was taken. And he had a certain set of skills. that make him a nightmare to people.
People like you.
Yeah, that kill his lady and take his kid. So that's basically what it was. Dishonored is taken. Thank you for that revelation, Panda. I don't know why I didn't put that together before, but it's basically
That's
taken.
Okay.
And so it was really interesting in the first game because you could choose by this Offlander who has this mystical power that you run into. You could choose to embrace the path of magic or not. So you could choose to play the game either with just your stealth skills and weapons that you would acquire. Or you could turn on the magic path as well and have magic plus those weapons and skills.
Why not the fuck have magic?
Like, just it depends on the user. Like, because you can play it multiple times.
It's like going to a restaurant and be like, would you like some avocado? Why are you asking
that question? Yes, I want avocado.
Why? Exactly. Magic is like avocados.
Avocados are magic. Boom.
Kind of like, do you want more or do you want less? Bitch, I want more.
Always
all
more.
The time.
Always more. That's a dumb question too. That's two dumb questions on you.
Like unless the less is, hey, we'll give you more avocado or we'll give you less, but the less is gold, because then the gold is worth more than the avocado.
Yeah, but that's not gonna happen. Just shut up and give me more avocado.
So just give me fucking more. The end. Like, come the fuck on.
Yeah, so just stop.
Do you want this turned on? That should be it. Do you want this turned on? Yes or no? Don't be like, do you want more or less? Because, sorry, I'm always going to say more. Like, yeah, I want more. Oh, well, it's shit. Doesn't matter. I wanted more and you gave it to me. Thank you. Oh, I hate that question.
So, anyway.
Do you want more stats? Yes, I want more stats.
So you have powers, okay, that allow you to do things like possess different things, and as you strengthen that power, you could go from possessing rats, which that would allow you to scurry into a building undetected and then just materialize.
I possess humans, because that's what I wanted.
Eventually, if you strengthen up that power, you could. But again, it's, you know, the skills tree work, so it's a very interesting blend of RPG, because there are skill trees that you have to choose. How you want to spend various points to upgrade, that kind of thing. And I bring this up because that same mechanic is in Dishonored 2. In Dishonored 2, you have the option, and we're introduced many years down the road, where Emily is now the Empress of Dunwall, and her father is still at her side. When you start the game, you can choose to go through the tutorial or not. The tutorial basically teaches you how to, the basic mechanics of fighting. So dodging, attacking, stealth creep, pickpocketing, how to use a crossbow, which basically teaches you also how to use a gun. You can choose what difficulty you want to play the game on. As my usual, I started with easy because I like to try and blow through a game as fast as I can so I can talk to you guys about it and have a good general gist of what the feel is like. And depending upon whether or not I really enjoyed the story and the gameplay or not, then go back and play it on a higher difficulty to kind of round out my full gamer experience. But Dishonored 2, also like its predecessor, gives you the option to, as you play through the story, choose to walk the magic plus weapons path or just weapons path. And I think for, you know, anybody out there that really likes a challenge, being able to play a game both with magic and without presents a lot of interesting things because it will change how you attack people. Because Dishonored is one of those games where it does not reward you for trying to be Leroy Jenkins. You will get overwhelmed in a room if you do not tactically take out the guys on the fringe. Because the enemies don't wait to attack you one by one. They will rush into a room, and if there are four of them, they will all be hitting you. You will die, and you will have to start that level again. So you do want to tactically, you know, identify who's in the room. Use things like bottles and alarms and sounds to lure people away from groups to take them out. But how you do that is completely up to you. And so the story is very interesting in Dishonored 2 as well. It, like I said, picks up with Emily as the Empress of Dunwall. And they're having a Remembrance Day for the death of her mother, which, what is her name? It's, well, it begins with a J. Jessamine. I was like, it's so weird. Jessamine, it's not Jasmine. It's Jessamine. Because they had to be special. Somehow, a woman comes to the celebration and says, "Hey, I'm so glad that you're celebrating my little sister and remembering her. But I'm actually her older sister, and I'm actually the Empress. So, hey, we're going to arrest you, Corvo and Emily, because I believe that you guys are the crown killers. And so you're going to go to the dungeon for a while, and I'm going to take over Dunwall. Don't worry, it's going to be awesome." And as that battle takes place, there's a moment where everything pauses, kind of like Quantum Break style, and you are given the option to choose whether you want to play the game as Corvo or you want to play the game as Emily. And I thought that was an interesting mechanic in letting you, you know, at that point choose who you want to play through the game as.
I could kind of foresee why they would do that, because it is Dishonored 2 and giving you that duality. Like, I could see where they could have easily entertained the idea of giving you two playable characters. Now, do the stories differ based on who you actually play, or all of the missions after that completely linear and it doesn't matter if you're either or? Like, I'm curious.
So who you pick is who you play the whole game through as.
Okay. Have you played through the whole thing yet? And have you played both characters to know if there's a difference or what?
So I have not played through the game in its entirety yet. I do intend to do that twice, because whomever you pick, at the point that you pick, there is no going back and playing as the other person, at least as it sits right now. Because what happens is I picked Emily because, one, I love her character. And, you know, even from the stuff that was shared at E3 about the game, I was totally interested in playing Emily because Emily does play a little bit different. She has different power sets and things like that. Than Corvo. So very much like the twins in the Assassin's Creed Syndicate, their playstyles are different. Same thing with Emily and Corvo. At the moment that you choose who you're going to play with, Delilah, the new Empress, supposedly your aunt, I don't buy it. She sounds like a witch when she talks. Encases the character that you didn't pick in stone, basically, and turns them to a statue. And they stay stuck in the throne room.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you go, "Hey, Delilah, what the fuck's up?"
Mostly because she's having you knocked out and dragged and supposedly taken to a dungeon. But you escape because you're awesome.
So I'm now kind of imagining that clearly she's a baddie.
She's a bad hombre, yeah.
So you're gonna, she's a nasty woman.
She is a nasty woman.
You're gonna have to school her a bit later, but you can't face her right now because you little. You gotta do your montage now.
You gotta do your montage. And it's actually kind of true because basically the next mission is you escaping an area and taking out the guy who killed your second-in-command best friend officer and took your ring to try and get your mom's hidden-away stash gold. So
what an asshole.
Yeah, so
leave
you...
leave my mom's shit alone.
You do some creeping. You learn how to take out a group of people, track somebody, lure them away, you knock him out, and then that's how you leave Dunwall, because your bestie, in her dying breath, tells you that people knew that something was up and that there's a ship down at the docks waiting for you with this captain, and if you can get there, that captain will get you out. And what's cool is that captain is a woman named Megan. Megan's black, which is dope.
Yay!
I don't know yet, because again, I haven't finished the game, if Megan's, like, completely on the level or not completely on the level.
Like,
but Megan...
There might be, like, an objective or agenda that she hasn't fully disclosed to you
Right. But she's down on the docks, and Megan's been through some shit. Like, Megan lost an eye. She's missing an arm, like, from, like, the shoulder down.
Damn.
So she's got it, like, wrapped up and got a nubbin. So, like, something real bad happened to Megan. Okay? Oh, like...
sorry, Megan.
Real bad. And she's all cryptic and shit all the time, which is not cool.
Oh, then, yeah, she clearly has a fucking agenda.
So...
where you need to go, like, we can, right. We can work on the details later. Thanks.
Right. And so... but the game looks gorgeous. And again, you know, the fact that you... are basically trying to figure out who this crown killer is. And the crown killer's basically been running around all of the townships and cities of the empire and killing basically the political opposition that Emily would have, so it seems. And what I really think is that
they make it look like Emily is killing these people.
Right, because they're all people that... Right, which is why people didn't throw up, like, their hands and uproar when
she
was
afraid.
Taken in, right? But what I think is the deal, I think that it was Delilah taking those people out because she's about to run ramshod over all of Dunwall on her path to do something else. Which, again...
oh, something a little bit bigger?
Yeah.
But
so,
obviously, something big enough that she clearly wouldn't want Emily to be in a position to stop her from doing it. So that's why she's potentially framing Emily to get her out of the way.
Right.
Got it.
So...
oh, hey, Delilah, won't you stop killing my family?
Yeah, right?
The only ones I've left in. You're just going through them busy. Will you stop?
Will you please? So...
Don't kill my pop.
You're so good.
I try. I didn't go to Juilliard or Berkeley.
Or stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But anyway, it's a very interesting game, and I like that you get to, at least in this version of the game, really think through how you want to get through an area. And really have multiple options to do it. Because like I said, in the first game, it felt like you had a lot of options to get into a place. But really, you only had like two. When it came down to it, as far as like getting into a place and successfully getting through your mission. Like there's an invention in the game called the Wall of Light, which is basically just electricity. It's just a big electrical field. And if you walk into it, it vaporizes you. So you have to...
is it like a red puff?
No, black. You're just black ashes. Like, every once in a while, I'll be in an area. There was one mission I was running early on in the game, going into basically an asylum. Because I was going to this place called Adamir. And this woman
Adamir?
Is... Adamir.
Adamir?
Adamir. Not there. Adamir. Adam, not there.
Oh, okay.
Adamir.
Adamir.
Like Adamir. Exactly.
Got it.
And one of the women who was there was having a discussion. I don't want to say an argument. because if it was, she lost, discussion with one of the guards, and he was just getting so fed up with listening to this woman talk about her kid that he just threw her into the wall of light.
Oh.
Yeah. And she just went,
poof. That dude definitely won.
Yeah, so he won. And he told the other guy, he's like, look, if anybody makes any stink about her and where she went, just be like, she, you know, was distraught and ran into it herself on her own volition. And I was like, oh, dude, I'm going to stab you. I'm going to stab you just for that.
And I'll
just
throw you into it.
Yeah. So I threw a bottle over into a room, and he went and chased after it. Then I knifed him. Because you could do takedowns and not be lethal at all. You can just knock people out. They eventually will wake back up, though.
Or you can fuck their shit up.
Yeah, or you can fuck their shit up. And because of everything that has happened, and now Emily is the Liam Neeson's, I'm like, no. Lethal takedowns everywhere. So, like, I will creep up on people and, like, strangle them out. And then once they're down, be like, and you're dead. Because I don't need you waking up and fucking up my shit later.
Well, I'm sure Emily, one, has some unresolved mommy issues with her mommy being murdered and everything.
Yeah, but her... so, remember in the first game where you had, like, the... Was it a heart? Yeah, I think it was a heart that you used to find runes and bone charms, which are buffs for you in the game. Yeah. Runes give you points to build up your skill tree, and bone charms give you buffs that you can equip. Yeah. The heart is still there in this game, except now it possesses a fragment of your mom's soul.
Oh, because, you know, that's not, you know,
no, that's,
heavy.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Because then, and if you don't get all the shards, you don't power up, you're like, I'm so close to completing my mom's soul and letting it be at ease. Panic attack, fucking central, hashtag triggered. Sorry. That got a little too deep too quick, Bethesda.
At the end of this, what I want to say is, if you enjoy stealth games, you will love Dishonored 2, because it really does give you multiple options for getting into a place, multiple options for attacking a space. And I love the fact that it really does ultimately give you two games, because you can play either as Emily or Kovo. And while I don't believe their stories themselves are different, because any way you slice it, it's about getting Delilah off the throne and reinstating Emily as the true Empress of Dunwall, like, before
get
Delilah
her phony ass off my chair.
Right.
Like, right now.
Right. So I think ultimately, like, the story itself is probably not different. Like, I don't think that there are different missions themselves for Emily and Corvo, but how you get through a space as Emily probably differs between how you would get through a space as Corvo, you know, because again, Emily is much, much, much more on the stealth side. Corvo does stealth, but not the same as Emily. Like, one of Emily's magic powers is that she will be able to turn herself basically into a smoke shadow figure. And just sneak into places through...
Like in the trailer exactly. That they played.
Exactly. And that's not a power that,
like,
Corvo has.
Around.
Right. So, for you stealthers out there, it is definitely worth a shot. I will say, it's a hefty little install.
It's a big one.
It's not a little one, so you better have space on your Xbox if you're playing it on the Xbox One.
Get rid of all those games you don't play no more.
I mean, if you down to, like, 20%, you need to get you a bigger hard drive, bruh, before you attempt to install this one. It is definitely, definitely a fun game. I will play it all the way through as Emily, and I more than likely will then go back and play it all the way through as Corvo, just because I really enjoyed the Corvo character in the first game. It is a bit bloody, though, so, and you have to hide your bodies. Like, you have to hide your bodies. I'm going
to
tell you right now, guys.
You have to clean up after yourself.
You really do.
No one wants to clean up your mess.
So far in the game, every time I've been found out in an area, it's because I thought I hid a body well, and I didn't. So definitely scope out the area, because there's usually a garbage bin, or a bin of some kind, or a high wall that you can, like, throw a body over. Or, frankly, just walk over to a cliff and dump them off the cliff, but hide your bodies. Because if you don't pick them up quickly, they will leave a pool of blood, which the AI is not dumb. If they see a pool of blood, they'll be like, what the hell? And they'll come into the area. So, like, I got killed one time because I was literally in the process of, because it took me too long to hit the button to pick up the body, putting a body in a trash bin, when a guy walking by saw the blood pool and came down. And because I was still holding the body, I couldn't defend myself. And he's just slashing me in the back. And then as I'm turning around and trying to get a health potion, he just blows me away with his pistol. Yeah, and I just start over from the checkpoint, which was way further back than where I was. So I was not pleased about that. So he was the first guy that died that go-round.
Yeah, because you're not vindictive or anything.
No, not at all. Not at all. Mostly vindictive, yes.
You're so understanding.
No, I'm just mostly vindictive. So there's that. There's that. But I highly recommend it. So if you have someone that loves first-person games and really enjoys stealth mechanics in their games, if they've never tried Dishonored before, I would say that picking up Dishonored 2 would be a great way to go. And there are some bundles out there where you can get the remastered Definitive Collection Edition as a digital download along with Dishonored 2. So you could basically get Dishonored 1 and 2 so they can have the whole story and play through the whole thing. I got the Collector's Edition, so I have that digital download as well as the game. And I also got the bust of Corvo's mask. Which will be displayed on my office very soon.
Now, does Emily wear a mask when she's doing all of her shit?
No, Emily wears, like, a scarf that she ties around her face, bandito style, if you will.
Okay.
So that she is less recognizable. But she does not have a mask. So the top half of her face and her hair is visible. And I'm just like, how does anybody that lives in your nation not know that you're the Empress?
That's
but
okay.
Whatever.
It's the Sailor Moon phenomenon, because none of them can have masks. Clearly people know who they are, but no one ever, it's a Superman complex. Like, ooh, the blue tights completely shield his beautiful face.
Yeah.
And clearly could not be the same person.
You know, I've never imagined Superman with glasses, but if I did, damn, he looks a lot like Clark Kent.
Exactly. Like, I never understood that. I mean, at least Tuxedo Mask wore a freaking mask. Granted, he barely did anything, but...
Right.
At least he was smart enough
He was there for encouragement. Face. Tuxedo Mask is there for encouragement.
Here's the thing that pisses me off about that whole thing.
Oh, God. Okay, so wait, we have to go to
quick tangent. Quick tangent.
Okay, fine.
So, Tuxedo Mask. Tuxedo wears a mask on his face like a masquerade. Okay, I get it. Moonlight fucking night. Like, freaking Sheik of the Desert. Bandito style over the nose. Eyes are visible. You can just put the eyes on Tuxedo Mask. Oh, it's Darren. He's the only black hair, blue eye guy we have in the entire series. If no one can put that together, no, totally different dude. It's like, oh God, guys, come on. I can't. At least in freaking Code Geass, he wore like a fucking mask. Like, come on. Elevate your game some. Change your face.
Change your face.
Fix your face. Put a mask on. If you're going to have a secret identity, like Batman. Batman wore a mask. Granted, we all know it's Bruce Wayne, but at least he put on a mask. Two-Face fucked up his face. Worked for him. So, you know. It just irks me sometimes, but... You know what doesn't irk me? Christmas.
Truth. Love the segue. Great. Fantastic. Gold star for Panda.
I was going to fold it up. I was going to roll it up nice and neat.
Gold star for Panda.
Woohoo!
Because, like I was going to say, definitely Dishonored 1 and 2 would make great gifts for anyone that enjoys first-person games, some really interesting story, and... a lot of stealth mechanic. Because if you don't like stealth mechanic, you're going to hate this game. Because the game will bitch slap you every time if you don't play stealthy.
You can't just
go into an area at guns blazing because your reflexes on using your swords and your guns are not fast. Okay, so this is not Infinite Warfare. Okay, you can't just be like, I'm going to bulldoze everything. You ain't going to bulldoze shit. Use your stealth. But they're great games to play. You should own them. They would not suck as a gift. And getting into that, as Panda segued, we're going to talk about things that would not suck to get as a gift this holiday season. You can use this as kind of like, hey, a guide for buying stuff this holiday season. Completely up to you what you do with this information. And we're not saying that you have to get us these things, but what we're saying is if you're thinking about, if you're in our lives in that way, about trying to get us something for the holiday, where one of these things wouldn't suck. That's all we're saying. That's it. I'm not saying much. Right off the bat, what I want to jump in on, because it's the holidays, and...
Ho, 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 bitch.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. One thing I do want to jump off with really quickly is, especially for gamers, that there's a lot of peripherals out there right now. And I know mm-hmm. there's like a couple that you're going to talk about, Panda, but I think that if you've got a gamer in your life, especially on console, because this will work also on PC as well, depending upon which one you look at. But if you got a console gamer in your life and they do online multiplayer in any sense of regularity, then they need a good headset. And there's a lot of question about what a good headset is when you're playing games, especially for long periods of time. What I tell people my line is and how I make a decision on whether or not a headset is good is, one, is it comfortable for me to wear for hours? Because if I'm playing multiplayer online, I'm probably playing for at minimum 3 or 4 hours.
Damn, son, I ain't even got the stamina like that no more.
Like, I don't do it very often, but, like, I'm playing for 3 or 4 hours. And so, because, again, most of the games that I'm playing right now in multiplayer, in all honesty, Division, Overwatch, Destiny, but Destiny on the Xbox. And so those are games where I'm not just picking up for 10 minutes and I'm out. Like, they are, okay, sit down and play and rank up and earn some stuff and go find some things and grind, 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 grind. So I need a headset that is going to be comfortable on my head, not pinch, not be heavy, but also give me great sound in my headset and also have a decent mic. Like, I have had headsets that I've used that, you know, have been light and didn't pinch, but the mic quality was really bad. And so I either wasn't being picked up all the time or I was coming in super, super loud versus everybody else in the chat. And that just makes a bad experience, not just for the user, but also for all of your friends in the party.
People who get subjected to your loud-ass mouth.
Correct. So I've tried all different kinds of headsets. I've had headsets from Plantronics. I've had headsets from Logitech. I've had some Turtle Beach headsets. And ultimately where I have landed with pretty much...
When is Blue Microphone going to do headsets?
They do. Blue does a headset, but it...
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. But Blue does a headset.
Oh, because I'm just saying, like, I've been seeing more and more people with these, with Blue microphones, and I'm like, yep, you get on that Blue microphone tip. I see you.
We've been down for like a decade, but I see you now. I see you.
No, I'm just like, I'm glad other people have acknowledged your genius, Blue microphone.
But,
I know I'm getting my fiance one for Christmas, so he'll leave mine the fuck alone.
But, that's the funny. I've tried a bunch, and ultimately where I've landed, and this is shouldn't be a surprise to anybody because we've said that they are unofficially the official headset of Electric Sisterhood, is with the Astro headsets. We've done many reviews of their products in the past. They've been great and sent us a couple of things to review over the years. Like, we've been reviewing them for, I think, for like the last 6 years. And every time there are new headsets on the market and I try the new headsets, I find myself within a couple of months always going back to my Astro headsets. Like, right now, we are doing the podcast and the headset that I have on is my A40TR headset that I disconnected from the mix amp because I use it when I do the podcast because it is a great, comfortable headset. I can wear it for hours just in case we end up flubbing too many things and have to re-record stuff and re-record stuff and re-record stuff, which can happen. But I have been in love with the Astro headsets for really like 3 years now. And I would say right now that, you know, the new A50s that they've come out with, which the A50 is the top of the line Astro headset. The Astro headsets are not cheap headsets, but it's for a reason. It is really a quality headset. Just across the line, I have their original A50 headset, which is now almost 3 years old, which is a wireless Dolby headset. The A50s that I have, the mix amp works with either the PlayStation or the Xbox or Xbox One boxes, connects over fiber. In order to use the mic with the Xbox system, you do have to use an adapter with the original A50. The new A50 headset that has come out, there's an A50 for Xbox One and there's an A50 for the PlayStation. And the A50 for the Xbox One
does not require
or additional adapter. It has a charging base station, so it's a little bit differently designed than the previous A50s, which you just had to plug into USB to charge them. It's got great battery life. I'm looking forward to, at some point in time, getting my hands on the Xbox One version, just because I prefer a truly wireless experience. And with my A50s as they are right now, I have to use the adapter, which is a wired adapter that goes from the A50 into an adapter directly on the controller. So it is a shorter wire because it is just between my headset and my controller and my hand. But it does kind of lock me into sitting into to one real position. So I make sure that I don't knock the adapter out of its connection or pull it out of the ear when I'm using it. So that's like the knock that I have of the original A50s. And so the new system, not requiring that adapter at all, just straight out of the box, you can use the mic with the Xbox One, is a big deal, because there have been many headsets that I would put in the premium category that needed the adapter in order to do chat plus audio with the Xbox system. So there's the new A50 set, which will run you around $300 to use. But it is a phenomenal headset. And I would say that that's like for your hardcore person that has, you know, multi-systems and, again, does multiplayer for hours and hours and hours at a time. And then if you want to take a step back from that, I would say that the Astro A40, which is their, I would call, you know, mid audiophile level headset, is a great way to go. There's a version that does have an adapter as well for the Xbox One that is $200. And that's the set that has the M80 adapter, which you can plug directly into your Xbox controller and use it. But again, it just offers a phenomenal fit. I have a somewhat biggish head, especially when I'm either wearing a wig or I have my hair braided. And so having a headset that I can wear for hours and hours at a time when I got my big head mode on is like cream of the crop, awesome and worth it. So if you're looking to spend a few dollars and really want to get a phenomenal headset that they'll love, definitely check out astrogaming.com. The Astro A40s or the A50s are the higher end series for sure. But I feel like with Astro, you get what you pay for. And so if anybody wants to get me the A50s for the Xbox One, that would be great. Love you so much, Kate. Thanks, bye.
On my side, since we're kind of talking about peripherals, I'll state something that I think will be a great gift for a lot of people, especially if they're living that Xbox One life right now. So we all know from all 10 years of this show, well, for most of the 10 years of this show, that I love customizing. I love being able to customize my character in games. I like to be able to put decals on my consoles. Like, I am all about putting shit on shit to make things, more things feel like me. Like, I wish I could get a decal for my TV, because I would do that. Lately, I've seen and have desired to get my own Xbox Design Lab Xbox One controller. Mind you, I don't have an Xbox One, my fiancé does, but I still dig everything about this concept. Because, I mean, for a long time, we've been able to put decals on our consoles, and if you wanted, like, a non-traditional...
Your phone.
You've been able to put shit on all your other shit, so why not be able to put it on your game controller? I mean, and if you went through outside third-party
makers,
right, if you did some shady shit, you could get something that wasn't standard, but there was a good chance that it might fuck with your system, fuck up, and or not work, or not
and
even be that good.
And there's all that extra money out the window.
Right, so why not? So I'm kind of glad that Xbox kind of, you know, had the light bulb turn on and said, hey, people want to be able to see themselves in their console, not just in the games that they play, not just on their console, but they want to be able to feel more immersed in the experience. So why not give them the opportunity to hand customize color and all that stuff on their controller? So they came out with Design Lab. And I've talked about Design Lab before, but I just dig this so much. So, I mean, you literally go through, I think 7 different steps to customize all the buttons and the toggles and stuff on your controller. And depending on how much you tweak, now this could run up between $79 and it can go up from there, depending on how much you want on there. You can have your screen name, gamer tag on it. Like, you could totally personalize it if you want. I think that's additional, but who wouldn't want their name unless they're still, like, if they have an embarrassing name, maybe not so much. But, I mean, you can always pay to get that changed. I mean, if you're already paying $80 for a controller, maybe you shouldn't be spank that ass 87 anymore. You know?
Maybe. Just maybe.
Just saying.
I mean, sometimes, you know, time to grow.
Exactly. But I just love it. And, I mean, I'm putting two of these on my registry for my wedding. But, I mean, if someone wanted to buy it for me for Christmas, I could take it off my registry and then put something else on my registry. You know what I'm saying? Now, the only disappointing thing is, since I'm on the tip about the Xbox One controllers, I've had the distinct pleasure of getting my hands on an Xbox One Elite controller, which I did a review for, which we should be seeing on the website soon if it hasn't already gone up.
It will be on the site soon.
But I spent about 2 weeks with it. First week completely without customizing it, and then second week toggling with the customizable features and playing with a modded setting, which I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. I didn't find it too hard. It was pretty much right there in your face the whole time. And you could actually kind of see how things would graph out and how they would change. Like if you were adding a delay to your toggly buttons or whatever. So completely user-friendly, not too much over the head. I mean, at first I thought it was going to be a lot harder than that. So they definitely made it user-friendly, which I dug. I just wish that Design Lab and the Elite controllers would, like, go on a date and realize how beautiful they'd be together, because I would love to fucking customize Design Lab and Xbox Elite controller. Like, I would love to do that shit. I would pay for that, or in the instance of a gift, if somebody finally moved out their mama's basement and, like, did it, like, the best way, like, got the right job, paid all the back rent to their mom, and, like, were ready to, like, move out and, like, got their own apartment, but, like, had to sell their, like, their old Xbox. I'm like, you know what, dude? I know you just ordered yourself an Xbox One, but here's something a little bit personal for you. Merry fucking Christmas. Boom. Customized. Because I know you like that lime green and yellow combo. Here you go, Snake. Because it goes by Snake in my imagination. Like Snake 87 blah blah or whatever. Like get that customized on the side. Because he's investing in his future so I can invest in his game future. Something like that. I mean, or for a wedding, you could totally get me like a, you know, pink controller with like purple buttons or stuff.
So, for those people who are interested in getting a Design Lab controller for the Xbox One folks in their lives, where do they go to order?
They could go to xboxdesignlab.xbox.com.
And how much is the controller going to cost?
Like I said, it could go from $79 and up, depending on what you customize on it.
So, actually, it's $79.99
for the base,
for the controller, and you only pay extra if you decide to have the laser engraving done to have like their gamer tag laser etched right onto it.
Like I said, and up, because if you get the thing on
it, there's only two options. Someone's be like, base controller is this, and make it sound like there are a billion off other things. Like it's either $79 or $89 depending upon whether or not you do the laser etching. And then whatever shipping you put on it. But guess what? It's probably going to be a bunch of people trying to get them controllers. And they are coming directly from overseas. So if you're thinking about doing it, like, you need to do it, like, now to ensure that you'll be able to get it in time for the holidays if it's a holiday gift. And then as far as getting the Elite controller, you can pick up the Elite controller pretty much at any big box store as long as they're in stock. You can order them directly from the Microsoft store. You can also order them. I think you might want to check, but I think they're on back order actually on Amazon right now, because a lot of people be trying to get their hands on those controllers because they're good-ass controllers though for the Xbox. But not to leave anybody else out, there are a couple other things that are out that are, I think, pretty interesting as well. That'll make great gifts for people this holiday season. There are quite a few box sets that have come out on the anime side. There's the Complete Collected Studio Ghibli, both on DVD and now on Blu-ray box set. A little bit
you
harder.
You hear me, Kim? He's coming out of retirement.
Yeah, Hayao's going to do one more movie. Come on, as a creator, it's really hard
to stop. He's like the Jay-Z of anime. Every time he says he's going to retire, He comes back with a giant album.
He's like, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
There
is the complete Ghibli set, which for anyone who is a fan of anime would be a great box set to have, especially on Blu-ray, which looks absolutely stunning. I will say that every time I've watched Porco Rosso, I don't know why, but it just feels different when I watch it on Blu-ray as opposed to the DVD that I had. I don't know why. It shouldn't really feel all that much different, but it does. And Porco Rosso is one of my more favorite Ghibli movies. So that collection is out. I would definitely say, you know, as far as finding it in hand, it's probably going to be specialty stores that you'll be able to find it. So you're probably going to have to rely on the internet to do that. Last time I checked, it was back ordered on Amazon. And I have not gotten my reminder because I told it to tell me when it was back in stock yet. But keep your eyes peeled for that. Look at specialty stores, especially if you have a comic, anime, manga store near you, locally. They may also be able to order it for you. So that would definitely be one I would put on the high list of, like, for the anime fans out there, would be a great box set to have. I know I've mentioned previously that the complete Code Geass series is available now on Blu-ray, which would be a fantastic gift to give to the anime fans in your life, as would be the Neon Genesis Collector Edition or the Cowboy Bebop Full Collected Set. Those are all great collector sets to give to people who are fans of the genre or to introduce people to the genre. I think those are all really good series as introductions. Attack on Titan is never a good introduction to anime. Okay.
What I mean?
Attack on Titan is not the first anime that someone who's like, I've never watched an anime before, should watch.
Here's the thing about that, okay? While I agree with you,
like, that's not the first one, because some people may be like, okay, so anime is just nothing but fights and bloody and people getting eaten, and that's not my thing, and I'm out. And they're like,
no, hey, let's watch Rin, Daughter of Nemnosine. That's not bloody and gory. Yes, it is. And it has sex. I will say this, though, for someone who's like a naysayer of anime, like, oh, it's all just a bunch of boobies and sex and boners and nosebleeds, I would probably say, hey, check this out. Because there's so much more going on in the anime scene than some people like to believe. And just for the shock value of it all, have them watch that as for exposure.
Yeah, but that's a shock value. That shouldn't be the intro. And that's what I'm saying. These are all good intros to anime. Like, Studio Ghibli is a great intro to anime.
Like, hey, Steve, I know that you've watched Robotech, and that's sort of, just kidding, that's absolutely anime.
Sort of.
I was just about to get people who are going to get so mad at me.
First of all, panda bitches, Robotech is totally first anime. Don't cite that.
You watched Astro Boy.
Yes.
And that was kind of like, that was also anime.
It's not kind of like anime, it's anime.
It's anime.
Can you stop with your kind of like, all your stuff is like, oh wait, no, that actually is anime. That's anime.
I know you watched Avatar, and that's not anime. That's Western style. Very good show though. Like, absolutely wonderful.
Just to clarify, you mean Avatar The Last Airbender, not Avatar The James Cameron Movie.
That's right, because that's just Dances with Wolves at the Gate.
That's just Dances with Smurfs. Go ahead. Really, really tall Smurfs.
Airbender, you think is anime? Watch this. Like, yes, I would not drop that person into.
That's what I'm saying. Like intro series. It's, you know, being people's first introductions to anime.
But I also probably wouldn't go Ghibli, because depending on which Ghibli movie you choose, it might kind of be over their heads. Like, in my mind, Howl's Moving Castle.
What dumb people do you like introduce to anime? I don't think there's any Ghibli movie that's over anybody's head. Okay, Neon Genesis would be.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of subtle nuances, and there's a lot going on in Ghibli movies.
Yeah,
that you don't get in the first pass.
No, but as far as introducing people.
Princess Mononoke, can you sum up Princess Mononoke for me?
Yeah.
Go ahead, try.
Ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Ready.
Don't fuck up the earth. We are all part of one giant ecosphere. Spirit of the forest is the spirit of the world. And if you fuck that up, we're all doomed. So stop it.
Okay. Because you know what most people, when they see Princess Mononoke is, right? You know what they think? Oh, man, I can find a hot girl in the forest who doesn't understand humans, too.
No one thinks they can find hot girls in the forest that don't understand humans.
That is not true. Okay. I know several people.
You roll around with some suspect people. That's your problem. Those are your choices.
And then Howl's Moving Castle.
Wait, if you think that magic is real and you're going to be able to find a door that's going to let you turn and go to freaking a different country, again, you suspect. Suspect. It's an animated movie. Nothing is real. Let's move on. Because you and I are going to have a completely different podcast here. And we're out of time.
Don't fuck with the ocean. Don't fall in love with Poseidon's daughter because he'll fuck your shit up. If you're 2 years old, by the way, you can fall in love at two. Ponyo told me so.
Okay, so anywho, anyhow, anyway.
Moving away is utter doom. Your parents will become pigs. You'll eat them because they'll be bacon. And you'll fall in love with a river spirit who also looks like a dragon. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Okay,
it could be a
Look, if you're watching anime to try and find love interests, you suspect. You suspect.
I should introduce you to
Don't introduce me to them. It'll be a bad time.
Her anime club.
No, it'll be a bad time.
My club. We're all about
I'm just telling you right now. I'm just telling you right now. If you introduce me to these people, it'll be a bad time for all.
And I mean, I had my thing.
I will have to hit them with the stick of reality.
It's like is my husbando.
No. No.
For life.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I will have to hit them with the stick of truth. And beat them with the fist of reality. So anyway, I do think that is a good introduction and a great gift that the collected works of Studio Ghibli would be a great gift. I also think that Code Geass would be a really good gift. And it's available now on Blu-ray, both the first season.
Yeah, you gotta go older than that. You gotta go Escaflowne.
Look.
Escaflowne, Love Hina, Tenchi Muyo, Trigun.
Hold on. Look. Like
Cowboy
we can have a whole recommended anime purchase list episode. We could do that.
Like,
but I'm just saying,
anime, you must like these things in order to participate.
Or I can't deal with you and you're not a true fan. No. But like these are some great recommendations for intro gifts for people. I have the Code Geass box set. I'm getting ready to marathon it again because I just love that series so much. But, you know, I agree, like Trigun is definitely a series that I would put on that list. That would be a great gift to an anime fan that likes action. Escaflowne for sure. I'm not a fan of Love Hina, but I do know that there are a lot of people that...
Oh my god, how do you not love Love Hina? Did you love Tenchi Muyo though?
Yeah, I'm a Tenchi chick.
How about Oh My Goddess?
I wasn't a big goddess fan.
How? If you watch Tenchi Muyo, the storylines are so...
But again, it's all about the characters and the delivery.
So were you a Ryoko?
Yeah.
Okay. I was all about that Washu business.
Yeah. I mean, Washu's cool, but I was totally a Ryoko. And
Washu made me want to learn about science.
I was totally, totally a Ryoko fan and like totally like Ryoko needs to be with Tenchi until Tsunami. And then like my world changed and I was like, well,
fuck,
that just has to happen. So then my world changed and I was like, fuck everybody, that's not Tsunami.
Jump into a space plane
exactly.
And never come
I was
back.
Like, you could just go. Also, Ryoko, you can also go with your fake ass self because it is all about Tsunami and Tenchi for me. That's another podcast. that's definitely another podcast. We could totally have a Tenchi podcast, and we probably should. It's been a while since we've had.
Oh my god! And there have been like two more revisions. Like there have been two more.
Yeah, have you? Didn't I? I'm pretty sure that I talked about War and Geminar.
You did.
Yeah,
you did talk about
and
it.
You should watch it. It was actually very good. But hey, you know what? There are a lot of really cool things that are out there. I would say that for the comic book fans, oh my gosh, like you guys have so many options. For a gift giving this season, like I'm kind of jealous of you. What I would highly
everyone should have a Deadpool in their stocking.
I would highly recommend is find out or know what camp your fan, your comic book aficionado is in. If they're a Marvel person or a DC person or just superheroes in general. And I would focus on getting them the hero box of their choice. Both Marvel and DC do box of the month hero crate type things. Outside of Hero Crate. Hero Crate itself is kind of all comics all put together, but Marvel has a box a month, as does DC, very much like Loot Crate, which is filled with merch specifically for that camp So you can do 3 month, 6 month, 1 year subscriptions and get them a box of surprise goodies every month for short run or just a single box or multi-box. I think it's a good way to go because then you don't have to worry about getting a specific issue, because the difficulty with I find with my comic book friends is I never know what books they already have, what books they really want, and what books they really want that other people are also getting them. So at least this way you can get them stuff that is a surprise for them every month. So it's like a present that just keeps on coming, but is still in their fandom, which I think is cool. So
I mean, I'd also say this. While it's great to hit up your Amazons and your eBays and your whatever, don't forget that, you know, there are places that you can get customized stuff like Etsy. Like, for those Sailor Moon fans out there, because, you know, we know I'm one for realsies. Like, if I could get away with getting all the propaganda, like the moon wand and the locket, I would have them in my home, like, right now. And I would totally do all the transformations in my studio. But because I'm an adult and I can't have toys, or I have to have less toys, you can find people who will actually make real things. Who's to say that by my wedding I won't have a Sailor Moon compact mirror that looks like the brooch? Because there's one on Etsy that my fiance is going to get me for Christmas. And for all of you fans of the Starlight Locket, you know, the one that, you know, Serena uses to get Dark Darian to, like, not kill her, even though he was really close to killing her in the Barrow Saga, the one that plays the beautiful melody, found a person who makes it, like, as an actual pocket watch, which I am going to have them do in silver for me, and I'm going to have it in my bouquet, because my fiancé is kind of like the Dark Darian, I think. I'm somehow going to work that in my vows, maybe.
And you've worked in the wedding reference, so yeah. The streak continues. We've given you guys so many different options. Like, I love the handcrafted option, and yes, Etsy is definitely a place that you should go and look.
You can find about anything
for any fandom.
Appreciate your nerd craze.
Right? Because I still, because I still want a Ravenclaw Snuggie, and I haven't been able to find one.
You can find one on Etsy.
So, like, that's needed in my life. So, with that, we're gonna wrap up here. So make sure that you check out the show notes. We'll have links to the major stuff that we've talked about, the Astro website, the Etsy site, the Design Lab, the Amazon and Microsoft Store links, so that you can check out and hopefully get your hands on an Elite controller if you're looking for that for someone, as well as some of the Box of the Month services like Collector Core and Hero Crate and the DC's Limited Edition and Marvel's Box of the Month piece, so that you can find the right gift for the nerds you love this holiday season. If you have enjoyed our podcast episode, make sure that you subscribe to our podcast to make sure that you get every episode the moment we put it out on the web for your consumption. You can subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast and hitting subscribe. You can also get our podcast through Stitcher Radio on VogNetwork.com, through Google Play, as well as pretty much every podcast aggregator out there on the planet. If you want us, you can subscribe to us, and we highly recommend that you do that. You can also get our feeds for our podcast, as well as our main sections of our site for reviews and news and whatnot, on our site, electricsisterhood.com. Make sure that you add us to your bookmarks, that you grab our feed and put it into your RSS reader if you prefer to read feeds as opposed to stop on sites. And that way you can keep up with all the great news and reviews that we're putting up on site every day from the whole team, which is awesome stuff. You gotta check it out. And if you like what we do, then you're gonna like everything that the entire team puts together. So make sure that you check out b3crew.com and all the stuff that the homie KBD and his crew is putting together, including the No Borders, No Race podcast that he hosts on Wednesdays. Make sure that you check out our homie SmashRook.com's Twitch page, where he does live streams, HamsterMan2049, that is, does live streams every Wednesday of new and old games. For a couple hours, you can be part of chat, watch him play along, and just relive some awesome nuts. So he played Psychonauts a little while ago, and it's just some awesome nostalgia to be a part of. So make sure that you check out SmashRook.com and HamsterMan2049's feeds every Thursday on Twitch. Replays something fun, and it's totally cool. Thursdays, make sure that you're hitting up issuesprogram.com and checking out the YouTube channel of our homie, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's recap and review, where he's doing recap shows. His Westworld recaps give me life right now. If you're into that show or any other really good serialized show, you definitely want to check out Phil's recap and review on YouTube. If you're watching live recaps, you can be part of the show, call in live, be part of chat, and just have a great, fantastic time. You should totally subscribe to Phil's YouTube channel. I highly, highly recommend it. It'll just make your week. And last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, giving you the stuff that nerds crave: anime, manga, games, and more, including comics, nerdcrave.com. Make sure that you interact with us on social. If you got a question or something that you want us to check out, or you got a recommendation for something that would be a great gift for the nerds that you love this holiday season, hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. Give us a like, shoot us a comment, or a private message if you want to keep it, like, you know, on the down low. We can do that too. You can also engage with us on Twitter and on Instagram at ESH News. Share some of our content and hit us up and let us know if there's something, like I said, you want us to review or check out, or just share with the community. And with that, that's all the business that I have for this week. I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We are thankful for each and every one of you listening to this podcast right now, and for all the nows to come and all the ones that have passed, which is over 500 now. Power level's over 500. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time,
keep yourself healthy.